Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. What a blessing it's already been just being in God's house today. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Matthew 6, 1 says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you, what a blessing it's already been just sensing your presence in this place. Thank you for how we've already been ministered to. But now as we open up the precious word that you have preserved for us, I pray, God, that you'd give each one of us here that insight into what you would have each one of us to receive from it. I ask, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 5 through chapter 7, we have recorded in the Bible Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Powerful chapters in the Bible. I recommend that every Christian ought to read these chapters through every so often. Jesus is revealing God's will for New Testament Christianity. His whole life was the fulfillment of the Old Testament and then revealing God's will for New Testament Christianity. But on this Sermon on the Mount, so many things that need to be applied to the believer's life. Here in the passage we've just read in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus addresses two very important acts that God expects from every believer. Two very important responsibilities, duties, alms and prayer. I don't know where Christianity would be if it were not for these two very important acts in the Christian life. Since they are to be a part of every believer's life, we know that there will be spiritual battles because we fight spiritual warfare on a regular basis. I mean, Satan is very much the prince of the power of the air. And he wants to hinder the work of Christ. He wants to hinder the will of God in each one of our lives. And so because we know this is a part of every believer's life, it's what God wants us to grasp. We're going to have spiritual battles to keep us from doing them or doing them in a wrong way. Amen. You see, not just doing them is what's critically important, but making sure that we do them the way that God wants them to be done. In both these, Jesus warns of hypocrisy. The hypocrisy in alms and the hypocrisy in prayer. And if you look there in verse 2, he says here, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do. So there's a warning there in our almsgiving. And then in verse 5, the Bible says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." So we find the warning in doing these in a wrong way. And then in both of these, he makes mention of something that I call, and what the Bible calls, he says secret, but a secret life. In verse 4, "That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly," in almsgiving. Then if you look down to verse 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closets, and when thou hast shut thy door," secret place, "pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Wow. So this morning, first of all, what we need to understand through the teachings of the Lord in these two very important acts that ought to be a part of all of our lives, of the Christian life, we need to understand that every one of us have a personal, private, or if you will, secret life. And every one of us has an exposed or revealed life. The one, the secret life, only God sees. The other is what man sees. We all have both. Can I tell you, in understanding this, no one is always what they appear to be. No one. Some appear happy when they're really not. If you know somebody very well, you can tell the phony smile from a legitimate smile that reveals they're happy. And every one of us here, can I tell you, we have a phony smile. Sometimes people ask me, "Preacher, is it hypocritical to smile when you don't feel like smiling?" And I always tell them this, and it's so true. If you desire to feel like smiling, it's not wrong to want to show a smile because you want to smile, because you want to feel like smiling, even though you don't. It's not really hypocritical if you want to feel like smiling, but you don't feel like it, but you still want to smile. But many times, that is what man sees, and that does not reflect what's truly inside. A phony smile. All of us have it. Because you want to have men perceive something that's really not what's going on inside of us. And I appreciate that. So does most people around here. When they ask you how you're doing, they really don't want to know a half hour worth of everything that's ever happened to you. There's a time and a place to seek counsel if you need counsel. There's a time and a place to get the help that you need and support that you need. But usually when it's just a greeting, most of us have that phony smile that we put on. Because I really don't want you to ask how I'm doing, because if I have to tell you that I'm doing fine, then I'm lying. And I shouldn't be lying. But yet a phony smile helps us to get by with saying everything's all right. So understanding that, again, no one is always what they appear to be. Some appear to be content when they're really not. Some appear to be pleased. Like when you take a bite of something somebody's made for you with the expectation that you're going to like it, and you know it going into it, and you put it in your mouth, and inwardly you're saying, "I would love to spit this out, but I can't." And you appear to be pleased. At least at the moment. Right after we got married, my wife thought that I loved bean salad for some reason. I come home from working. It was before we actually were full-time ministry. I was working at an auto body frame man. Come home. I live close to the house. Come home for lunch. The first time, first Monday, you know, after our marriage, come home, and she has this three bean salad for lunch and a candle on both sides. I'm grubby. I mean, I've been working, and I'm dirty, dusty, and being around a body shop and coming home, and she has this, and she wants me to taste it. And I'm thinking, I hate bean salad. But I know because of the candles, she was expecting something different. Somehow she got in her mind that was my favorite dish. At the time, I thought, you better grin and appear like you like this. But it was somewhat soon after that, I told her, honey, I don't know where you got that information, but I don't like bean salad. I was honest with her later on, but at that time I thought, I better be phony here, you know? if I know what's good for me, I better appear to be pleased, even though I'm not. Listen to me. No one is always what they appear to be. But God always sees the secret life. You can never appear to be something when you're something else to God. I love it because in the life of Christ, we find that he gives us two contrasting examples are given. This idea of the secret life. He gives one of his 12 apostles. It was God's plan for Christianity to be aware of a Judas, because no one is always what they appear to be. Did Jesus Christ know that Judas would be the one that would betray him? Yes, he did. Did he know him to be the son of perdition? Yes, he did. But to the other 11, Judas was one of them. To the other 11, Judas appeared to be as godly as any one of the apostles. Matter of fact, they made him the one to carry the money. They put trust in him. He appeared to be one thing, but within, he was a wolf in sheep's clothing. He was not one of the disciples. He was not a true believer in Jesus Christ. And the Bible gives us that example. And then we find on the other spectrum, the contrast to that was a man called Saul, who persecuted the New Testament church. And all the New Testament church believers would have seen Saul as a demon-possessed killer. But actually, Saul was a faithful Jew who loved God and was blinded to who Jesus Christ truly was. Man saw one thing, but God saw something different. God knew exactly what was in the heart of Judas Iscariot. God knew exactly what was in the heart of Saul, who later became one of the greatest apostles of all of them, Paul, who wrote 14 of the New Testament books of the Bible. What am I saying is everyone has a secret life. Everyone has a secret life. As we look into this passage of Scripture, the Lord, knowing that, he teaches on right motivation for, first of all, almsgiving. The right motivation. Now, Christianity, again, these are two things, staples, if you will, for Christianity. Love, grace, and mercy. Staples for wanting to be a help. This idea of alms, righteous acts, good deeds, giving to meet the needs of others. That's Christianity. That's Christ-likeness. Not thinking of himself, but became a servant. Looking to be of help. Looking to love people. Looking to help people to understand the true love of God. This entire church age, for some 2,000 years now, Christianity is to reveal the love of God Not that they cannot reveal and preach the whole counsel of the Word of God, because that we need to. And understanding God is a just God. In order for God to be a just God, there has to be a judgment of sin. And that judgment will come after the church age. There's going to be a tribulation where the wrath of God will be poured out upon this present day earth. And all of those unbelievers and all of those who rejected Jesus Christ, the tribulation period is a sign of understanding that God is a just and a God of judgment. But during this 2,000 years and during whatever we have left of this church age, humanity needs to see Christianity and understand that God loves the world. God loves the world. They need to understand God's love, God's grace, and God's mercy. And so the idea of alms and prayer, we'll get into that in just a minute, but the idea of alms is something that is necessary. This is something that is a staple for New Testament Christianity. But just doing them is not what God is mostly concerned about. There's a lot of good deeds in the world today. Praise the Lord for all of them. They're not the enemy. Praise the Lord for whatever it is. If they're doing something good, praise the Lord for that. I want people to do good. But if you're looking for God's blessings, then we need to make sure that we're doing them the way God wants us to do them. Might be good, but it's not best. True Christianity wants to be best. Wants to excel in doing what God would have us to do. Verse 4, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 4. That thine alms may be in secret. Coming from what's inside, not on that outward appearance, but what God's looking at, not on what you're appearing to man, but what God's looking at is what's going on inside of us. Thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So the most important thing about almsgiving is the motivation behind almsgiving. It is coming from that secret life that mainly wants to glorify God and do His will. Can I tell you, it's not necessarily wrong if others find out. It's wrong to do them to impress others. If you're doing them because you want to make an impression upon others and you want others to look to you as a good person, then you have your reward. And there's many in this world are looked to as good people, and praise the Lord for that, but they have their reward because what they're wanting to do is do good so that people might acknowledge them as being somebody that does good. But what is better than that is somebody that is serving God, somebody that wants to glorify God. Instead of having people look to me and see how I am good, I want to look to give God the glory and say, the only reason I'm doing what I'm doing is because of God. And the only way I'm able to accomplish what I'm accomplishing is because of God's grace. I'm not looking to do good to please man. I'm looking to do good to be able to please God, because I understand that God is who He is. God is real, and it is His will for my life. And because God is real and is God's will for my life, that therefore I am committed to being and doing what God wants me to be and do. If that is why you're doing it, you'll never stop. When the applause stop, when the pats on the back aren't there, when people are not recognizing you, you're still doing it. Why? Because it's the secret place. It's that which is within me that motivates me in my almsgiving. Because I believe in God. And I understand the very will of God for my life. Wow. Right motivation for almsgiving. We all have that secret life. And we all have that revealed life. We need to focus more on the secret life and accomplishing what God would have us to accomplish. He goes on down, and right motives for prayer and fasting. Yeah, prayer here in verse 5, look right here with me. And when thou prayest, that thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, meaning some are praying beautiful prayers, but they're praying to be recognized of man, by man, and how spiritual they might be. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, when there's no one there but you and God, pray to the Father, which seeth in secret. When it's just you and God, that's that secret life. Can I tell you, when you're praying in public, this does not take away from God's will for us to pray in public. But anytime we pray, I need to shut out everything. And I need to focus on God. If I'm called to pray in front of a congregation like this, to open up in prayer, I need to understand, wait a minute, I am not going to come up here and try to impress people with my prayer. Impress people with the words that I use. What I need to do is understand I've been asked to get up here and pray to open up a service, then I need to come up here and shut everybody out. And realize this is something God wants me to do. And now I'm focused on, in my own, my mind, in the inner, the secret life. I'm in my own prayer closet. It's just me and God. Now I am aware of those around me, but I am praying. It's just me and God. And God, I ask you, God, would you please bless the service? Amen. God wants us to pray as his, as children talking to their fathers. Amen. Amen. So no matter what you're looking to do, if you're looking to pray over your food and praise the Lord for that, when you do, you need to be able to come and shut everything else out. If you truly want the benefit from prayer, if you want to get a hold of God, put everything else out of your mind and focus on, all right, God, I'm looking to you. And right now, I don't know who's around who might hear. If I'm praying in public, the same thing. I might be aware of them, but I'm not focused on them. I'm focused on God. Ask God. Now, if I'm aware of I'm praying in public, I might pray about salvation as well for those around me, but I'm thinking about God. I'm focused upon God and what God would have me to do, and not only blessing this food, but presenting the plan of salvation. If I'm amongst a lot of unbelievers or lost people, I might preach a sermon in my prayer. But it's for God to use. It's for God to use. Because my prayer is talking to God. And Lord, I pray that if people don't know you as Savior, that today they'd be saved. God, I'm looking to you, and I know your will is that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to that place of repentance. God, I know your will. And so as I'm praying, if I have an opportunity, a platform to be able to acknowledge you in prayer, then I will acknowledge you in prayer and pray. But my focus is on God and his will. My focus is not, I want these people to see how spiritual I am. I want these people to recognize me for my vocabulary and my understanding of the words of God. That's not it. If that's what you're after, listen to me. You have your reward when somebody says, wow, what a powerful, powerful way of presenting that. That's not what I'm after. Right motive for praying. And then fasting as well, as we're in our month of prayer and fasting. Look at verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites. That's an actor. A hypocrite's a phony. It's an actor trying to play a part that they're not. Of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. This is to be a part of the believer's life. Prayer and fasting. It's what God has given to us. But a wrong motive is seen by the Pharisees, which were a religious group, but they have not the power of God. Or if you will, the hypocrites, which were actors, those that just wanted to appear one way, they had this outward appearance. And they wanted to focus on their outward appearance so that they might be able to impress humanity. So by impressing humanity, they would get the exposure themselves, and they will be acknowledged as somebody that is spiritual if that's what they intended to do and wanted. But the Bible says they have their reward. God is not hearing that prayer. God is not answering that prayer. They have the reward. Public praying is not being condemned here. Fasting, even what we're doing, an awareness of fast, is not being condemned. It is to understand. You've heard me say every year, public, I mean, the idea of prayer and fasting, it's your fast. The church is calling us together because the church says, I want the people of our church to understand that there is fasting available. I preached last week on faith first, prayer second, and then fasting is third. Because outside of faith, prayer does nothing. Outside of prayer and, I mean, faith and prayer, fasting does nothing spiritually. But when you put it all together and you have faith to understand God and His will for your life and understand He's given us a tool of prayer, and because of my faith in God, I use the tool of prayer. And because of my faith in God and using the tool of prayer, I know every now and then there's going to be this kind that only comes out by prayer and fasting. So it's something that God has given to me as an extension of my praying, and I need to take advantage of that whenever that time comes. And when that time comes, my most important desire is to get a hold of God. Not to impress mankind. If you're impressing mankind by fasting, you want everybody to know I'm fasting. And I'm fasting, and they'll, because I'm praying and fasting, because this and this and this, look how spiritual I am. But remember the Samaritan that smote his breast and said, God, I'm not worthy to come to thy presence. Because of his humility and his understanding of not about those around him, but understanding of who God is, his prayer was answered. His prayer was heard. Everyone has a secret life and a revealed life. When it comes to the two most important things that God has us do, first of all, almsgiving. Secret life is what's most important. I'm doing it because of I know God, and I know it's His will. And when it comes to prayer, I'm doing it because I know God, and I know it's God's will. The right motive is found there in verse 6 again. As we close here, look right here. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, if we just pray this way, shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret. And the Father, which seeth in secret, he hears that prayer. He knows that prayer. He shall reward thee openly. In verse 18, that thou appear not unto men to fast. Not that they know that you're fasting, but that you're fasting because of God, but thou unto the Father, which is in secret, and He knows, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Right motive is I'm in agreement in my secret life with God. Knowing God and what God knows or sees in me will impact how we pray, and it will impact how we fast. I love this poem. on prayer. It says, I often say my prayers, but do I ever pray? Do the wishes of my heart go with the words I say? I may as well kneel down and worship gods of stone as offering to the living God a prayer of words alone. For words without the heart, the Lord will never hear, nor will He to those words attend whose prayers are not to Him. Are we praying to man, or are we praying to a Heavenly Father? Is it what man sees is what's most important to us? Or is it what God sees in that secret place? Romans 10:10 says this, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Maybe this morning we need to check up on our secret life. Are we living our lives focused more on the appearance? Or are we living our lives focused more on what's on the inside? Salvation is dependent upon it. Baptism, service to God. If we're looking to God, His will is that you first of all do what God says a person must do to be saved. Don't stop looking to be a member of the church. Stop looking to impress the pastor. Stop looking to impress anybody else, and understand that there is a God. And He knows what's inside of you. And He wants you to humble yourself, confess that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and call upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord from the heart shall be saved. Have you done that? That's what God's looking at. That's part of your secret life. Are you saved? If you're saved, have you followed the Lord in believer's baptism? The first step of obedience once you are saved. It does not complete salvation, but the first step of obedience once you're saved, the Spirit of God's going to lead you to publicly identify with Jesus Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection, which will bring you into a membership of the body of Christ, which is His church. And once you've got there, then God says, I have a spot for you. A place in the body that I want you to use your spiritual gifts, and I want you to use what I've given to you, the talents and abilities, and I want you to serve. I want you to live as Christ liveth in you. That's the secret life. Being aware of there is a God, and there is a will of God for my life, and that's what I'm living for. That's what I'm focused on. We need to work on our secret life today. Stop focusing on the outward appearance, the revealed life, until you have the secret life where it needs to be. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't just appear to be saved, be saved. Don't just appear to be a church member, be a true church member based upon what God expects. Don't just do your alms so that you can be seen of men. Do them because you know that there's a God. Don't just pray to be heard of men. Pray to be heard of God. Father, we bow before You now. We love You and thank You, Lord God, for this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 6, helping us to understand alms and prayer. Two very important aspects of the believer's life. And I pray, God, this morning that You would speak to us as we have need to be spoken to right now. Help us to understand decisions that we might need to make today. If there's someone here that's lost, I pray that today would be the day they'd be saved. There's someone here that's just focused on the outward life and not working on the inward. I pray, God, that they would see the need today to come to this altar. Surrender their will to Your will. Whatever it might be, I pray that you'd work now and bless in this invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.